All right, we all grew up with the music of Styx. I'm telling you, Bill, I knew every word to every song on The Grand Illusion,
really?
This record from 1977.
Yeah.
In fact, so much so that my friend Sue and I would air guitar and lip sync to every one of those songs in her basement.
Sure.
1977. And who knew almost 40 years later we'd be talking to the guy who actually did those guitar riffs for real, James Young, J.Y. How are you?
Wendy, I'm great.
Do you want residuals for Wendy's work?
I owe you.
You have a check coming.
I'm telling you, I air guitared to every. I'm a big Styx fan, and if you grew up in Chicago, how could you not love Styx? We all grew up listening to this music.
That album sold 6 million copies overall, but 1 million of those copies were 8-track.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Can I tell you, that is something as a medium I never, ever had. I had the cassettes, obviously the albums, but never an 8-track, and I still to this day don't understand why anybody went that route, because in the middle of a great song, you'd hear a weird noise.
Click, click.
And then it would go, a little dead air, yeah. And then it would kick into the song. Why 8-tracks?
Well, in an automobile, you couldn't play LPs, and that was the first way to get music, recorded music into your car as you drove around. And then cassette kind of replaced that, probably in 78, 79.
That's right. I'm thinking back to my old boyfriend's Gran Torino, and there was an 8-track player in it.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
That's living high.
So Styx is touring. You're on, like, the Midwest leg of the tour. Where you're in Champaign tonight.
And tonight, Cheap Trick is on the bill with us, and we're going to have a good old rousing thing down here in Champaign tonight. And we're coming to the Joliet Memorial Stadium for a big festival there in Joliet on Friday, June 24th.
And so you have played with Cheap Trick before. There was a great article I found where Ted Nugent played a show with you guys as well, and someone questioned you on Ted Nugent's political views, and what did you say? Something like, I don't really care what he thinks about that. I just want to play music with him. You got to put things aside sometimes, don't you?
Ted is Ted, and, I think Trump is sort of actually channeling Ted in some ways, shape, or form, because the mouth can get slightly ahead of the brain on occasion, but they're both natural-born performers, Ted's a phenomenal guitarist.
Absolutely.
And, he's a great guitar player, and, one-on-one as a musician, all that whole thing goes away. And we just talk about how he started out in Detroit and jammed with Hendrix when he was 19 years old or whatever in New York, and I'm just a year younger than him, and I missed out on a few of those things. But we've both had wonderful long careers, but Ted does. Ted chooses to inject politics into his musical performance, and we choose to stay as far away from it as we can.
Which is a smart move, although I got to tell you something, and you can quote J.Y., James Young, here right now. You just mentioned who a perfect running mate for Donald Trump would be, Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent for vice president.
How about
sure.
that? Wang dang doodle this, my friend.
Right. The Motor City VP.
Oh, man.
All right, so Styx.
He lives in Texas.
What?
He lives in Waco, Texas now.
Does he?
Boy, that fits in appropriately.
Pronounced Waco or Waco? Help me with the pronunciation on that.
All right, JY's not going to answer. So you're still playing with Tommy Shaw. I mean, I got to tell you, Tommy Shaw and Dennis DeYoung got all the credit when you think about Styx and everything, but you were there just like they were, and you still haven't talked to Dennis DeYoung at all, huh?
No, he and I have not spoke since somewhere in June or July of 99.
I find that shocking.
I wish Dennis well. We did some great work together.
Absolutely.
Tommy and I just have no desire to work with him ever again, and we've gone on our separate ways, and he's out performing, Dennis DeYoung, performing the music of Styx, which is, after he sued us in federal court over the use of the name, is what we've settled on. We get to use the name, we pay him an override, and he has to refer to himself in that way and no other way. So
I hate when it comes to that, but it does. You have creative differences, definitely. And, some of the early Styx was definitely like prog rock.
Well, my influence is there. It's a lot more buried than Tommy and Dennis really wrote hit songs. I was the guy who was more trying to be at the far cutting edge. And the first four Styx records on Wooden Nickel, I'm the lead vocalist on side one, track one, on the first four albums. I'm the only one that's played on every Styx show going back to 1970.
Look at that.
And then when Dennis...
I signed every tax return, so it's
like... Absolutely.
And then when Dennis DeYoung was out of the picture, JY, why didn't you get Sammy Hagar to replace him? What went wrong there?
Well, Sammy's made a fortune on tequila, and he does what he wants.
I guess.
Then it would have been Styx Hagar.
Styx Hagar, that's
weird.
Instead
of Van Hagar.
That's weird. You know what I remember, and this is a strange memory, but you can certainly answer this better than anybody. When you guys had one of the top songs in the country, when Lady was breaking big, it was in the top 10, yeah. You guys were playing, like, still proms and turnabouts near in the area. I remember a school near us. I went to Oak Forest High School. But one of our rivals, when Lady was, like, the number 8 or number 9 song in the country, you guys were playing their prom right then and there.
Well, you've got to start somewhere. And the reason I got together with Dennis and the Panazzo Brothers was that they were working musicians, and I was sort of the starving artist whose band had played at the first rock festival in Illinois at Kickapoo Creek in 1970, whereas those guys... They were playing basically all covers that the average individual wanted to hear. They were working, and I was a starving musician with a college degree in engineering for my IT. But I joined them up, and I had no idea that somehow I would complete them and they would complete me. And all of a sudden, my addition to that band, all the elements were there for success. And within 14 months, we had a recording contract.
What a story. That's great.
It is, and I want to play a little something just to refresh people's memory about a song that you wrote. Hit it, Kevin. Here she comes, Miss America. It's called Miss America, a great song, and I just think you were so ahead of your time because it's kind of mean and dark and against the exploitation of women in these pageants. And what year was this, 76, 77?
77. Well, Dennis had come up with a concept for the Grand Illusion, and to me, the fame is such a fleeting thing. You see it in the music business. You have one-hit wonders from the 60s. I know that song, but I, the life of me, cannot remember who did that because they only had one-hit song. And fame being the fleeting thing, that Miss America was just kind of a guaranteed. Nobody remembers. There's how many Miss Americas can you actually name by name?
But that's so weird because back in 77, that's what we all did. We used to watch Burt Parks do the stupid Miss America contest.
Oh.
And we used to...
Yeah.
There we go. But we all watched them, and it's so funny that you picked it apart in 77 because now that's what I do feel this is total exploitation of women. Didn't they take away the bikini or the swimsuit competition or no?
No, I think it's still intact.
Is
I
it
think.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Did you ever hear anything negative from the pageant, the people who run the pageant, James?
No, irony was when, what's her name now? Got in trouble for the naked picture.
Vanessa Williams.
Yeah, thank you. I had a friend a good friend in rock radio out east. He goes, oh, we got to get Miss America on the radio every cross country. And they go, just leave it alone. You know, it's okay. And,
yeah.
Because I don't know. It wasn't really. I wasn't being that critical of the pageant things. Just in the sense that it's fame is so fleeting, and that's one of the grand illusions, and that's how it fit into the theme of that album.
Well, I love that record. I like all your work, and I'm telling you, Styx fans, go out and see James JY, James Young, and Tommy Shaw, and the rest of the band. You got a good group together, and putting out the magic on stage. Champagne tonight. Rockford on the 21st, Joliet on the 24th, Milwaukee on the 30th. Oh, so many other dates. You can go to Styx.com. JY, thank you so much. And say hi to Terry Gibson.
StyxWorld.com.
I'm sorry, what?
StyxWorld.com. We don't have that domain. We could have had it for $5,000 at one point in time, Styx.com, but someone thought that was too much to pay for.
Oh, so
it is.
We are StyxWorld.com.
All right, StyxWorld.com. Say hi to Terry Gibson. I worked at the Loop radio station with him.
Terry speaks very highly of you.
He's a liar.
Wow.
He's in the radio business. What do you expect?
Yeah, I know. Good to talk to you, JY, and keep rocking.
Okay. All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Seems like a nice man.
But we'll never work with Dennis DeYoung again.
And stressed never. Like you
never.
Go, well, never's a long time, but it sounds like never to me, doesn't it? It's too bad.
It's never.
It's too bad. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have more show. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.